Shamish Methodist Temple. Let's all stand, and we'll start with a word of prayer. Therefore, I just thank you again tonight for the ones that are here tonight, Lord. Pray that you be the service of my honor and glory for you. Be with the ones that are on this prayer request list, Lord, as we'll be going over later on. Again, just be with the service of my honor and glory for you. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's all take your hymn. Let's turn to hymn number 288. Hymn number 288, I am resolved. Hymn number 288. Hymn number 327, Higher Ground. Yeah.
Well, amen. It's good to be in the Lord's house tonight and to have each one of you here, and it's not raining yet. Hopefully it won't rain, but it might rain, so hope you brought an umbrella. Isaiah chapter 49 is where we're going to be this evening. Isaiah chapter 49. Isaiah chapter 49. Title of this is The Servant of the Lord, hyphen the Messiah. And so we'll catch that here. We're going to read down through a few verses here, have a word of prayer, and then get started. And as we outline, we'll use chapter 49 and 50 this evening. So we'll start reading verse number 1. Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of me. And he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword, in the shadow of his hand hath he hid me, and made me a polished shaft, in his quiver hath he hid me. And he said unto me, Thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Then I said, I have labored in vain, I have spent my strength for naught, and in vain, yet surely my judgment is with the Lord, and my work with my God. And now saith the Lord, that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him, though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. And he said, It is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, and his Holy One, to him whom man despiseth, to him whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship because of the Lord that is faithful and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. Lord, we love you tonight, and we're so thankful for the opportunity that's ours to stop in the middle of a busy week and just be able to come and be refreshed with fellowship, to be refreshed with worship, singing praises to your name, of hearing your word proclaimed, allowing the word of God to saturate our lives and our hearts. And Lord, it's so easy to be distracted by all the other stuff going on in our lives and in the world around us. Lord, tonight we pray that we just be focused on you, that we might meet with you, that we might hear from you. Lord, that you would minister to our hearts and stir that thirst in our souls for spiritual things, and feed us from your bread, Lord, that will never fade away. Lord, might you be honored and glorified through this service here this evening. We love you, and we ask these things in your precious name. Amen. And so we're going to start off tonight by understanding that Isaiah prophesies of the servant of the Lord, the Messiah. He's going to talk about his mission and his obedience. And these chapters record for us the communication between the Father, his Son, and Israel. So the first thing we notice tonight is the Father and Emmanuel. The Father and Emmanuel. Now, if you take notes, I'm going to give you a bunch of scripture, and you can reference that later. The Father and Emmanuel, chapter 49, 1 through 13, and chapter 50, 4 through 9. And so the Father and Emmanuel, the first thing we see is the words of God to Christ. The words of God to Christ. And we begin with verse number 3. It says, And he said unto me, Thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. And so the first thing that God says to Christ, that Christ says then to Israel, is that I will display my glory through you. And he's going to display his glory that he might be glorified in Israel through his son, Jesus Christ. And that he will redeem and restore Israel. Verse number 5 says, And now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him. Though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. And so it's God commissioning his son to bring Israel back to him. We know that when Jesus came to the earth, he was rejected of his own, and therefore he turned to the Gentiles. And that brings us to verse 6. And he said, "It is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth." Man, I'm so glad for that. Amen. I'm glad he just didn't stop with the Israelites. I'm glad it just wasn't the Jews. I'm glad that when God brought his son to this earth, he brought him with a reason for salvation for all mankind, that none would have to die without him. The son brought salvation to the ends of the earth. And since his time here upon the earth, mankind has been trying to fulfill that great commission. We're still in the midst of trying to fulfill it today with the sending of missionaries around the world to carry the gospel of Christ, with carrying the gospel message to those in our neighborhoods and those in our communities that they might know about Jesus. And so the light went to the Gentiles. I'm glad that it did. I'm glad that I can be saved today. I can know that I'm saved and on my way to heaven because the light came to the Gentiles. And then the fourth thing we see is after suffering rejection, it said, "You will be honored by all nations," in verse 7. And verse 7 says, "Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to him whom man despiseth, to him who the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship, because of the Lord that is faithful and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee." Man, we don't see a lot of that worship today, do we? It's sad. It's really sad. Jesus didn't see a lot of it then when he was here upon this earth. But we have a promise that there's going to be a day that every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. And so we know it's going to happen. We know that that's going to be a part. We need to do our part to share Jesus with this world in which we live, knowing one day that all will acknowledge him. Even the richest to the poorest, the meanest to the tamest, everyone will acknowledge that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so this will usher in the millennium. We've been talking a lot about the millennium through these 10 chapters here in Isaiah chapter 40. And he refers to the fact that his son, God's referring to the fact that his son will usher in the millennium. And verses 8 through 13, everything's going to be made perfect for Israel. This is going to be quite a time, the millennial reign. I'm glad that I'm going to be with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, right? We're going to get raptured up. We're going to be in heaven. And then after the 7 years tribulation, we're going to come back with our Lord and Savior. And it's going to be an exciting time. And then he's going to establish his thousand-year reign here upon this earth. Will rule and reign with him. Verse number 8 says, "Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages, that thou mayest say to the prisoners, Go forth, to them that are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in all high places. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them. For he that hath mercy on them shall lead them, even by the springs of waters shall he guide them. And I will make all my mountains away, and my highways shall be exalted. Behold, these shall come from afar, and lo, these from the north and from the south, and these from the land of Sidon. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted." And so what a precious thing during the millennial reign. Now Israel suffers. It seems like they suffer at the hand of anybody and everybody around them. Of course, we've just watched the whole Hamas thing go on, and we know Syria's been involved in some of that. And we look back and we see how everybody's been picking on Israel and having issues with Israel. And when Jesus comes back, establishes that millennial reign, when the Messiah has his millennial reign set up, he's going to lead his people and he's going to bless them. And they're not going to have to live in fear for 1,000 years. They're going to be able to just relax and get to know him. Hopefully there'll be a lot of salvation, and his people will come to know him and to follow him. Not a lot of that today. We still need to reach out to the Jewish nations. We still need to share with them the gospel message. But in the millennial reign of Christ, it's going to be different. Israel will be regathered, and Christ will be the head as the Messiah. It's just going to be a wonderful time there as he rules and reigns and brings his people together. And so the second thing we see is the words of Christ to God. Verse 49 through verse 4, it says, "Then I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for naught and in vain, yet surely my judgment is with the Lord and my work with my God." And so he realizes, you know, when Jesus came to this earth, he came subservient to the Father. He came to fulfill the Father's will and the Father's plan. As he comes back to establish the millennial reign here upon this earth, he will do so at the beckoning of the Father. His return to this earth for the rapture will be at the beckoning of the Father. And so it's going to be a wonderful time as Christ comes and shows that perfect picture of obedience unto the will of God. And then the third thing we find in this portion of Scripture is the words of Christ to himself. Verses 1 and 2, he says, "Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from afar. The Lord hath called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother, hath he made mention of my name, and he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me, and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver hath he hid me." And so he commissioned him, the physical birth of Christ. We celebrate that, of course, at Christmas time, how that Holy Ghost came upon Mary. It wasn't something of being made of man. He was a fulfillment of the prophecy. A virgin conceived and bore a son after the Holy Ghost came upon her. And he was mentioned of him that he would be a mighty weapon in the hands of God. And, you know, I've done a lot of reflecting, and not as much as probably as I should, but a lot of reflecting on the ministry of Jesus. And it was always amazing to me how many people would come, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, all having their issues, all wanting to pick him apart and to pull him down. And then from the inner side, from the disciples themselves, there was argument about who would sit on the right hand of Christ and who would sit on the left. Like, it was their choice to make at all, you know. And Jesus came to humbly serve his Father. Would be that we would learn from that lesson, that we too might then seek to humbly serve our God and our King. And so he gives perfect wisdom in Isaiah 50 and verse number 4. "The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He waketh morning by morning. He waketh mine ear to hear as the learned." I love to do a part of my devotion time in the morning. Part of it is I'm fresh, I guess. I'm fresher than any other time during the day. It takes a little bit to get the cobwebs knocked off, but the morning's a good thinking time for me. I love to, Cindy and I share Bible reading at that time of the day. I love to start my day around the Word of God and thinking on the Word of God. And it kind of sets the day then as to what I might be meditating about, or, and maybe not even aware of how those verses or those examples that I've heard or studied that morning going to affect the rest of my day. And so I think it's good that we learn to start our day with the Lord and to be wakened morning by morning. I love the way he said that, to be wakened morning by morning. He waketh mine ear to hear as the learn, to wake, to be ready to hear, to learn, to set aside issues and problems that we might just spend time with the Lord. It'd be a great way for us to start our day. And he came to obediently follow God. And in verse number 5-7, the Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. Our Savior was an amazing man, part God, part man. He was amazing when we think about the fact that he came and he gave his back to the smiters, those who beat him. He gave his face to those who would pluck off the beard and smack him and hit him. They took the crown of thorns, platted it upon his head. They shamed him in every way possible, spitting, name-calling. He was crucified naked. Any form of shame that could be inflicted upon him was inflicted upon him. And yet he was obedient through it all. You know, I'm glad I'm not the Son of God, because I might have said, really, we have to go this far? You know, can we stop now and wipe them all out? That'd be a great way. We'll just start over. But he was submissive. He was submissive. No, the Lord is an example for us today, how we ought to live, how we ought to serve God. We ought to submissively serve the Lord. Lord, what would you have me to do? How would you want me to serve you? God, I want to submit myself unto you. I'm afraid what happens in 2021, if we're not careful, is that we've got a list of ideas, and God, if you'll fit inside of these ideas or one of these boxes, if your plan will fit in there, then I'll serve you. Otherwise, you know, I'm going to be in charge, and you're coming along with me. You're going with me. I'm going to live my life the way I want to. And it's really sad. Here we are, 2021, the field, the world, the need has never been greater. And yet we have less young men, and yes, young ladies, a smaller amount of young ladies, smaller amount of men that are willing to say yes to God. They're not willing to say, I'll go, I'll serve. And then when you take and you factor in the fact that those who go to Bible college and graduate, and God and Satan gets in their life and messes around with them, how many of those divorce and the marriages fall apart and their desire to serve God is gone, and how many couples just turn and go another direction? It just gets whittled down further and further and further. I think we ought to pray for laborers. Isn't that what the scripture tells us? To pray for laborers. The harvest is great. The harvest is not getting to be any less. Papua New Guinea's not settled, is it, Brother Richard? Not yet. We still need laborers. That's why we want to send Richard and Leslie over there. We still need laborers all around the world. Laborers are still needed. We need not shy away from the fact that this is the plan that we've used all these years. It's the plan that God established. It's a plan that we've used. We don't need to rethink it or redo it. We just need to apply it. We need to pray, God, would you call some of our young people into the ministry? God, would you use some of our young people? Would you give us as parents and adults a wisdom to help train up our children that they might be able to be used by you? I'm afraid many times we raise up children to fulfill maybe things that we found lacking in our lives. Or, you know, we're going to work on this, we're going to work on that, and very, very rarely do we see you know, those kids that are going to excel in sports or academia, that's really going to make an impact. Be far better for them to be attentive to the Word of God and listen to the things of God. Be far better for the eternal situation for their life, for the cause of Christ, if they were settled upon the things of God rather on the things of this earth. Because the last I checked, during the book of James, it all gets torched. It's all gone. The second thing we see is the Father in Israel. The Father in Israel. The complaint in 49:14, but Zion said, "The Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me." I'm sure that the Jewish people maybe at some time have felt like, where is God? I'm sure when Hitler was lining them up and putting them in to trains and toting them off to concentration camps, and they would put them in those torture rooms and kill them off, I'm sure that they were wondering, where is God now? Where is God now? We just, as hard as it seems to say, we just need to trust Him. Even as we walk through difficult times, we might find ourselves wanting to say, where is God now? When we, I think it's okay to voice that as long as we come around to remind ourselves He's right here with me. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. No matter what the trial I'm in, what path I'm walking down, He is always there. No matter how dark it seems, He is always there. God quickly points out that in reality, it is Israel that has forsaken and forgotten Him. And if we're not careful, it could be the same thing for us. That God's not left us, we're the ones who left Him. Verse number 1 of chapter 50 says, "Thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, whom I have put away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, for your iniquities have ye sold yourselves, and for your transgressions is your mother put away. Wherefore, when I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all that I cannot redeem?" Man, that's something to think about. God's hand's not shortened. He will redeem. "Or have I no power to deliver?" You know, if we're not careful, we run to every place in the world, but the number one place that Christians ought to go, we run to the bank, we run to our credit card, we run to our own thinking, we run to others' thinking, we put it on Facebook and we take a survey. But we fail to run to the one who is the one who can solve it all. The one who has a master plan. The one who ought to hold our hand no matter what we go through. He says, "My hand's not shortened, I'm still here. I have the power to deliver you. Behold, at my rebuke, I dried up the sea. I made the rivers a wilderness, and their fish stank because there is none water, and they dieth for thirst." I like this. Verse 3, "I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I made sackcloth their covering." I tell you, I think if a person ever doubts that there's a God, gotta go to Wyoming. My good friend Ron Zort pastored up there, and we went up and preached, I don't know, revivals for 3 or 4 years for him. And we'd walk out of the church house, and the sky would just be jet black, and the stars would seem like you could just reach up and touch them. I don't know why it was, but it really seemed like that in Lander, Wyoming. Like, they were just right there. I could almost touch them. Or, being a good Kansas boy, I've laid on a hay rack out away from the house after a hard day's work, warm, hot summer day, haying and all that kind of stuff, lay out on a hay rack at night to watch the big, dark Kansas sky unveil the beautiful stars that God has made. Who did that? I didn't do it. Donnie didn't do it. Donnie can do a lot of stuff. You can't do that. God did it. See, God has given us, He's given us reminders that He's still God. We need to stop and just recognize He's still there. He knew that we were going to suffer hurt. He knew we were going to suffer pain. In the midst of it all, He's still there. His people are going to be reminded as He begins to set up that millennial reign, and He'll remind them, I'm still here. I've always been here for you. And the comfort seen in verses chapter 49, verses 15 through 26. And in spite of Israel's sin, God reassured His people that He still loves them. I'm so thankful for the love of God and the great forgiveness that comes from Him. The power of God's love, verse 15 said, can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I forget not. I will not forget thee. A picture of God's love in verse 16. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. The promises of God's love, verse 17 through 26. Some of these promises that's going to prove God's love. One is He's going to destroy their enemies. Verse 17 says, thy children shall make haste, thy destroyers, and they that made thee waste shall go forth of thee. Lift up thine eyes round about, and behold, all these gather themselves together and come to thee. As I live, saith the Lord, thou shalt surely clothe thee with them all as with a ornament, and bind them on thee as a bride doeth. You going to have any ornaments on, Erica? Yeah, brides usually do, don't they? Verse 19, so God's promises, the promises of God's love, He's going to destroy their enemies. The second thing is He's going to regather Jerusalem. Verse 19 through 21, for thy waste and thy desolate places and the land of thy destruction shall even now be too narrow by reason of the inhabitants, and they that swallow thee up shall be far away. The children which thou shalt have after thou hast lost the others shall say again in thine ears, the place is too straight for me. Give place to me that I may dwell. Then shalt thou say in thy heart, who hath begotten me these sayings? Seeing I have lost my children and am desolate, a captive, and removing to and fro. And who hath brought me or brought up these? Behold, I was left alone. These were had, where had they been? Then the third thing of the promise of love that He's going to fulfill is that they will be honored by all nations. This is really going to be great. Verse 22. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will lift up my hand to the Gentiles and set up my standard to the people, and they shall bring thy sons in their arms, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders, and the kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and their queens thy nursing mothers. They shall bow down to thee with their face towards the earth and lick up the dust of thy feet, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? But thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the troubled shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children, and I will feed them that oppress thee with their own flesh, and they shall be drunken with their own blood as with sweet wine. And all flesh shall know that I am the Lord. I am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One in Jacob. What a wonderful promise that they're going to honor the nation. They're going to honor the Lord God, and they're going to honor the nation Israel. which will be quite the contrary to the way it's been while they've been here upon this earth. And then finally, the challenge. The challenge. Fear and obey God. Look to Him and not ourselves. Verse number 10, chapter 50. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of His servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon His God. Behold, all ye that kindle fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow. Fear and obey God. Look to Him and not ourselves as we live for Him here upon this earth. Lord, we love You and we thank You for the truth of Your Word. We're excited about the millennial reign of Christ and how that Jesus will be lifted up, Your people will be lifted up, and Lord, You would be honored and glorified through it. And still a lot of uncertainty that dwells in even my mind as I think about that day, but I know that You have a plan, and Lord, I know it'll be executed, and what we can see from Your Word promises that it's going to be an exciting time for Your people, Israel. Lord, I pray that if there be one here that doesn't know You as their Lord and Savior, that they might respond tonight, that they might let us take a Bible and show them from the Word of God how they can know that they're saved and on their way to heaven. And then, Lord, for Christians, I pray that we would pray. We would pray this day and age in which we live. We would pray for opportunities to tell others of Christ. And I think we ought to pray for the nation of Israel, Lord, You would, as the excitement builds as to Your coming, Lord, I pray that they would remain faithful. Lord, that we might even have an opportunity to win many to You before even Your return. And then, Lord, I pray for the expectance of the rapture, or the sets on the timetable, and every Gentile's anxiously waiting for the rapture of the church. Lord, I pray that we might remain faithful. We wouldn't just sit and wait, but we'd stay busy, looking forward to Your soon return. Thank You for Your Word. Bless it tonight. Bless this invitation. Use it for Your glory. We love You. We ask these things in Your name. Amen. Would you stand with me this evening? I'm going to sing 316. I've decided to follow Jesus. God spoke to your heart tonight. Encourage you to come, whatever that need might be.
I've decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided.
Seated, we'll do our prayer time this evening.